It was the kind of place that felt forgotten by time. The dirt road stretched for miles, twisting and turning through thick, shadowy woods, the trees leaning in like they wanted to swallow the path whole. As the sun began to dip behind the mountains, casting long fingers of shadow across the road, John finally saw the sign. Oak Hollow Campground. The sign was weathered, faded by years of neglect, with half the letters missing. But it didn't matter. This was the retreat he'd been searching for, far from the noise, the stress, the endless grind of life. A place where he could breathe, be alone, and let the world drift away. He pulled the car into the empty parking lot, gravel crunching under the tires. Not a single other car in sight. The brochure had made it sound quaint and welcoming. But now, standing in the cool, dusk air, the place felt off. The cabins were run down, roofs sagging under years of decay, windows dark and hollow. There were no signs of life, not even the usual sounds of wildlife. No birds, no wind, just quiet. It should have been peaceful, but it wasn't. Grabbing his backpack, John headed toward the nearest cabin, the wood creaking under each step. Inside it was worse. Dust thick in the air. Furniture covered in mildew. A smell like something rotting deep in the walls. The bed frame was bent, its mattress long gone. But he was here now. There was no turning back. Later that evening, sitting by the fire he'd managed to start with some old damp wood, he felt the weight of the silence pressing down. The stars blinked through the gaps in the trees, the firelight flickering across his face. It was then he noticed something strange. Across the clearing, just at the edge of the woods, a light flickered. Faint, like a distant lantern swinging in the breeze. He squinted, trying to make sense of it. There shouldn't have been anyone else here, not according to the sign-in sheet. He was alone. But there it was again, a faint light moving slowly between the trees. The fire crackled behind him, but all his attention was on that light. And then, as quickly as it appeared, it was gone. It was probably nothing, right? But the night felt colder now. The fire's warmth no longer enough to shake the feeling that maybe he wasn't as alone as he'd thought. The morning brought a dull, grey sky, with the sun struggling to break through thick clouds. John woke early, the uneasy feeling from last night still clinging to him. The light he'd seen, had it just been a trick of the fire? Maybe a reflection from something in the trees? Shaking off the thought, he grabbed his backpack and decided to explore. The campground wasn't large, according to the map he'd found tacked to the wall in the cabin. A few more rundown cabins, a lake just beyond the woods, and some nature trails leading deeper into the forest. It sounded simple enough, but something about the place gnawed at him. There was no sign of anyone else. No campers, no wildlife, not even the faintest breeze. Just an eerie stillness that hung in the air. As he walked, his boots crunching through dead leaves, John noticed the carvings. At first, they were subtle, small, crude symbols etched into the bark of trees. Circles, lines, shapes he didn't recognize. They were easy to dismiss at first. Probably just kids messing around, he thought. But as he ventured further down one of the trails, the carvings became more intricate. Faces, twisted, gnarled faces, staring out from the trunks of trees, their eyes hollow, mouths open as if frozen mid-scream. John paused, his breath catching in his throat. The further he went, the more frequent they became. The path ahead led deeper into the woods, where the trees grew closer together, their branches intertwining overhead, blocking out what little sunlight there was. Every step felt heavier, every breath more labored. It was as if the forest itself was closing in on him. Then he saw it, a small campsite tucked between the trees, as if it had been left in a hurry. A tent collapsed in on itself, scorched logs from a fire pit and scattered belongings, clothes, a flashlight, an old book, pages torn and flapping in the wind that had suddenly picked up. The air here was different, charged, electric. John's eyes were drawn to the ground. There, in the center of the campsite, was a circle of stones. At first, it looked like a simple fire ring. But as he got closer, he realized the stones weren't arranged haphazardly. They formed a precise pattern, a symbol like the ones he'd seen carved into the trees, only this one was perfect, deliberate. Something wasn't right. He could feel it in his bones. He knelt down, reaching out to touch one of the stones. It was cold, unnaturally cold, as if it had been pulled from the depths of winter. And then he noticed the footprints, small, barefoot footprints, pressed into the dirt around the stones. Too small to be an adult's. A rustling sound came from the trees behind him. John spun around, heart racing, but there was nothing there. Just the dense, impenetrable woods. But he could feel it. Something was watching him. The wind whispered through the branches, carrying with it the faintest sound. Laughter. Children's laughter. John backed away from the campsite, his pulse thudding in his ears. He needed to get out of here, get back to the car, and leave. But the path, it felt longer now. The trees seemed to twist and shift, like they were trying to block his way. And the laughter, closer now, too close. John ran. The path that had once seemed so simple twisted and stretched, as though the forest itself was working against him. His legs burned as he sprinted past trees with those horrible faces etched into their bark, their hollow eyes following his every move. The laughter, those eerie, childlike giggles, seemed to come from all around him, closer and closer. The air had grown colder, each breath visible in the faint light. He couldn't shake the feeling that something was behind him, just out of sight, lurking in the shadows between the trees. But every time he dared glance back, there was nothing, just the oppressive, impenetrable woods. The parking lot had to be close. It felt like he'd been running for hours, but the path, it wouldn't end. Suddenly, he stumbled, his foot catching on a root. He hit the ground hard, the breath knocked from his lungs as the dirt filled his mouth and nose. For a moment, everything was a blur of pain and cold. But when he lifted his head, something caught his eye. There, just ahead, standing in the middle of the path, was a child. A little girl. Her face, hidden beneath a tangle of dark hair, wearing a pale, tattered dress. She stood perfectly still, her head slightly tilted, watching him. John's breath caught in his throat. He scrambled to his feet, heart hammering in his chest. The girl didn't move, didn't blink. She was just there, waiting. He backed up, trying to put distance between them, but she stepped forward, slowly, deliberately. Her bare feet didn't make a sound as they pressed into the damp earth. Who are you? John's voice trembled, barely louder than a whisper. The girl didn't respond. Instead, she reached out one small, pale hand, as though beckoning him forward. Her fingers were caked with dirt, her nails cracked and broken. Then, from the trees behind her, more figures appeared. Children, just like her, their clothes torn, their faces gaunt and expressionless. They stood in a line, watching him with those empty, unblinking eyes. John took another step back, his pulse pounding in his ears. The children moved in unison, closing the distance. The wind whipped through the trees, carrying that same eerie laughter, now louder, almost deafening. His back hit something solid. John spun around and his heart dropped. There, towering above him, was the old sign. Oak Hollow Campground. He was back where he started. How was that possible? He'd been running for hours. The parking lot should have been just ahead, but the trees, the twisted, ancient trees, seemed to mock him, their carved faces sneering in the dim light. There was no escape. The children were closer now, their small forms creeping toward him, their eyes vacant, soulless. And then, from somewhere deep within the woods, a voice, low and whispering, carried on the wind. "You shouldn't have come." John's breath hitched, his throat dry, his entire body trembling. The children stopped just a few feet away, their heads tilted, watching him with an unnatural stillness. I didn't mean to..." John's voice cracked. He took another step back, but there was nowhere to go. The girl stepped forward, her eyes locking onto his. For the first time, she spoke, her voice soft, but full of something ancient, something terrible. "Stay with us." Before John could react, the ground beneath him shifted. It wasn't the earth. It was cold, hard, stone. He looked down and saw the familiar pattern beneath his feet, the circle, the same symbol he'd found at the abandoned campsite. But this time, the stones glowed faintly, pulsing with an unnatural light. The children circled him now, their eyes gleaming in the faint glow of the stones. The wind howled through the trees, the laughter louder, almost maddening. John stumbled, his vision swimming. The world spun around him, and as he collapsed to the ground, he realized with a sinking dread he was never leaving Oak Hollow.